Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. The service this week is titled Three in One and focuses on the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There isn't a sermon. Instead, we sang songs and read scriptures focused on the three different aspects of God. Check the video description for links to the Bible Project video we watched and the songs we sang. Thank you to Rhonda, Barbara, Earl, Dave, Diane, and Ed for being part of the video this week.
Good morning, everyone. I'd just like to start out by saying welcome. It's so nice to have some of our people who fly away during the summer back again. It's good to have Barbara, it's good to have Helen, it's good to have all of our Great Lakes people back. I know some of you think that coming to this little town of Beamsville is quite a shock to your system and quite a bit different than where you've come from, but we want you to know that you're very welcome and we're very happy to have you with us and always look forward to your return in September. And if any of you want to help out in any way, just let us know. We'd be happy to have people help with our Sunday school classes or help with service or visit some of our shut-ins, anything like that. Please, please let us know because we want you to be part of us. This week, Amy, not my Amy, but Amy, our friend Amy, who left us and moved to Montreal, is having a birthday, and we still miss her and wish her well on her birthday. Diane is putting together a church directory, a new church directory for us. If your name's not in the church directory, please let her know. If you need some changes made, please let her know that. And her email address is up on the screen. Larry, who is related to relatives of Barb and Don, he did so well in the rehab that the doctors planned to send him home this week earlier than expected. And always remember Marie in your prayers. Her Jack is back in hospital and not doing well. And so this is a hard time for both of them. So those are some other people to think of. And I have a letter here from Barb. As many of you know, her husband died not too long ago, and we had a memorial service for him in August. And it says, this is from Barbara. Dear church family, thank you so much for all you've done over the last 2 years. I know your prayers gave Grant and I strength. Your cards and calls cheered me and made me feel as if the barrier of time and distance because of COVID didn't exist. A special thanks for those who helped with the refreshments for Grant's service. After the inevitable letdown after the service, a breathtakingly beautiful bouquet arrived to cheer me up and reminded me of how blessed we have been and I am. Blessings from Barbara. And that's what church family is all about. Okay, let us pray. Dear God in heaven, we come to you with humble hearts and we pray that during this service you will fill us with your truth and we pray that we will have hearts that love your knowledge and your perfect judgment. And we pray that we will be filled with the good qualities that only you can give us. And we pray that our praise will go up to you and thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible passages are long today, and I'm going to have to ask your help for one of them. I'll come to that in a minute. So we're going to begin with Psalm 68, 4-6. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him, his name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Isaiah 40, 9-11. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So Isaiah 40, 25 to 31. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look at the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, for my problem. Psalm 23. I love the King James Version. You have to be a certain age to know the King James Version, so I'm hoping there are enough of you to help me out. I left my copy of the King James Version at home, and I would like to try and say it. So if I pause, or even if you want to say it with me, if you know it, please do. So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning. Now, as Barbara said, we have a number of scriptures to read today. And this one is going to be John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Okay, the next one is Matthew 11:27-30. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. This fits so nicely with what we have just seen earlier on the screen. And so we are at 16:17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Thank you.
Remembrance. There's sometimes mixed connotations in terms of remembering. We think about this past week, the Queen's passing. Remembrance, 70 years of service, dedication, consistency. A model. And yet there's people who maybe don't have fond memories of the monarchy and the British Empire, colonialization, slavery. So you come at it from different sides. September 11th, that's today. 21 years ago, the world changed. The World Trade Center's attacked. So to our young people here, if you're under 25, that date may not hold much significance to you, but I would venture to say that you've talked about it in history class. You've talked about it in some way as it impacts your life, and many of you flew here from Asia, from Africa, in the last few weeks, and your life on that plane was changed in terms of security because of what happened 21 years ago today. So we think about the reality of our world changing, sometimes rather dramatically. The remembrance of that event, September 11th, 2001, was sort of reinforced to me because for 3 years now, I have not gone to Newfoundland, but I have been twice this summer conducting tours. And even Janet and Martin were with me on the first trip. And what I do is I go to a little place called Lewisport. Because in Gander, when the airspace was shut down, 6,500 people from around the world were pushed to this little town to land in an airport, and then they were taken care of for a week. But think of the emotions of those people. Think of the emotions of our world at the time. Confusion, fear, anger, just uncertainty. What's going on? And this little town of Gander received 6,500 people. So what I do is in Lewisport, I pull over by the middle school in Lewisport because there was a lady who was one of those 6,500 passengers that landed, and she and her colleagues were in Lewisport. And here in the midst of all this confusion and chaos and just worry and fear and what's going on in our world, this little community responds with kindness, hospitality, goodness, comfort, love, concern. So in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of chaos and evil, comes compassion and kindness and goodness and love. So I pull over because a lady by the name of Louise Felder and her colleagues asked simply, is there any computers we can use? And they were directed to the middle school. The computer lab was opened up. And for the next 6 days, they ran the Rockefeller Foundation from Lewisport Middle School. Rockefeller Foundation gives away hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And they ran the Rockefeller Foundation from a little town in Newfoundland, quietly, without anybody knowing. But when they left, They presented the school, the principal, with a check for $70,000 and said, maybe you should upgrade your computer lab. You know what? In the midst of craziness and tragedy came the celebration of goodness and kindness and hospitality. Another example from Newfoundland. On my last trip, just a few weeks ago, I went to the Rooms, which is a provincial museum. And in it, there is a permanent display because on July 1st, 1916, the battle at Beaumont Hamel took place and the Newfoundland Regiment was almost decimated. I've just got statistics. 780 young fighters got out of the trenches, and the next morning only 68 were called on the roll call. 110 survived, but only 68 showed up. One of the worst military slaughters in history. And so you see, if you're a Newfoundlander who just joined Confederation in 1949, you weren't even part of Canada when you went to that war, July 1st has some mixed messages, some mixed feelings, because July 1st is Canada's celebration, our birthday. But it's also, to a Newfoundlander, a sober reminder of the sacrifice of their young people in 1916. So, mixed messages. And as we come around the table this morning, we kind of are feeling that as well. Because remembrance is about thinking about the unjustified death of our Savior. The fact that he was wrongfully convicted. The fact that he did not deserve death. The fact that he stood for everything that was good, everything that was decent, everything that was lovely, everything that was caring about humanity, and yet mankind nailed him to a cross. It does not seem to be appropriate, given who he was, what he stood for, what he did, and yet he died. He died a terrible death on the cross. And yet, if I remember, I don't just stop remembering that the death occurred. I must remember the purpose of his death. It was for my sins, for your sins, for our salvation. It wasn't just an accident. It wasn't just something that was happenstance. It was God's plan for mankind to redeem us because he loved us. He wanted us to be redeemed to him. And so as we meet around the table, we think about the fact that death was not the end. That if I remember his death, which we're commanded to do, we also recognize that he rose from the dead, that he's seated on the right hand with his Father, that he has put in plan in motion for us so that we too can be called his children, that we too can be redeemed, and that we can have everlasting life with him. So the reality is, remembrance is complicated. Whether we remember things happening in our world, which sometimes can serve as a good spiritual, even, reminder to us. So when I go and walk through that gallery and I see the war and the suffering from the First World War and the injustice and inhumanity from, well, I think about also that when I come around the table, there was injustice. But ultimately, God's plan is for us and for all mankind. And the reality is, we are commanded. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the love that prompted you to send Jesus into this world. We thank you for his care and concern for mankind, that he was willing to see this plan through, even if it resulted in his own death. But we, Father, are thankful that death was not the victor, that you overcame death by raising him from the dead. We thank you for the hope that we have because of his sacrifice and his resurrection. And we pray that you will help us as we partake of these emblems now to fully understand and comprehend the great love that was shown at the cross. Is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, we love you and thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship you. And we pray that in our private worship, our private times of reading your Bible and praying this week, that we will come to know you even better and that we will love you more each day. Thank you, God, for our church, and thank you for all the people who are part of this church. But right now, thank you for the people who are not able to be here today because of the infirmities that come with age. And thank you, God, for Val, and thank you for Lynn and Dorothy and Joanne and Dorothy and Johnny and Joe and John and Connie. And thank you, God, for Marie, and we pray for her and Jack. And thank you for the inspiration all of these people have been to us over the years, and for all that they have done to make us better people. And we pray, God, for the people who have not found their way back after COVID, and we miss them and we love them, and we pray that they will return at some point, and that we will be one group again. And thank you, God, for the opportunities we have to serve you. And we pray that this week, as we go about our duties, and that we will do good works, and that we will glorify you in who we are and in what we do, and that your name will be glorified because of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.